Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. And welcome back to the Chat with Father Matt. This is Father Matt here with Jeff Stegbauer. He's a seminarian for the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. He grew up in Mason, Ohio, but now is spending a year of pastoral internship at Holy Angels in Sydney. Welcome, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing real well. Thanks for having me here, Father Matt.
Glad to have you on here. It was nice to have you at Mass and have you read for me at Mass since no one was scheduled, and then we went and had a little bit to eat beforehand for this recording, so it's good to spend a couple hours with you.
Yeah. Always good to be here. My first time up here in Fort Recovery. It's a beautiful little town, so
thanks.
Neat little country town.
Yeah. Well, we indulged in some peanut butter burgers. I thought that was kind of an interesting burger out there, but I enjoyed it. What did you think about that burger?
I loved it. It was a great combination with the peanut butter and the bacon and the burger. It was just all blended together. Top it off with some nice fries.
Had a little spice to it, a little saltiness to it, you know, just making the day even more indulging, I guess.
That's very good stuff. Yeah, it's a better lunch than anything I'd make for myself, that's for sure. So,
yeah, and putting bacon with anything, I think, just makes
life better.
I know Father Ned wants to try to make a bacon festival in Fort Recovery, but I know we raise hogs, but I think we have 30 million birds in this area, so I don't know if a bacon festival would go over as well. But he's like,
Everybody loves bacon.
Right. Who doesn't like bacon? So how could you not have a bacon festival? I guess just cost and whatnot and how many hogs can you actually slaughter and work out that.
I don't know even where bacon comes from on the pig, and I probably don't want to know, but
it's really, really weird. Yeah. And,
we'll just leave that as a mystery.
So I butchered.
Know that it's delicious.
I butchered, butchering of hogs a couple of times, and the pig was already cut up into parts, so I'm pretty sure it's the underbelly, but I don't know exactly. But it was kind of cool that seeing them use this meat slicer and just let that bacon cut into slices, and it was cutting it pretty thick. I love my thick bacon.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to go.
It just disintegrates in the pan. There's no point of even enjoying that kind of bacon.
Microwavable bacon might even be better than thin bacon.
Wow, microwavable bacon.
Not that I normally go that route myself, but
sure. But when it's quick and easy, why not check it out?
Mm-hmm.
So we're here today. We're going to talk about a term called indulgences, which I think has maybe gotten the church in a little bit of trouble at one point. People don't really understand what they are. We still talk about them today. I mean, we had the Year of Mercy, and your parish actually gave plenary indulgences to anyone that walked the holy doors. So,
that was great. I tried to do that every day.
And, wow, you got a plenary indulgence every single day.
Walking through that holy door. Some days I forgot, but some days I was unlocking the doors, and I'm like, I don't know if this counts, but unlock it, walk out, take a step, and walk right back in. So I don't know. I might have been cheating the system a little bit.
Sounds a little superstitious than more than...
I still did the requirements for the full plenary indulgence. And
So what is this word indulgence? I mean, it's kind of... I don't know. It seems like it might be like we're eating chocolate or something. I just said we were indulging into these peanut butter burgers. That just seems kind of a weird term if we're going to talk about that in our prayer life. So what's an indulgence?
Well, I'm going to bust out this fancy book that a parishioner gave me after we did celebrate an indulgence or fulfilled an indulgence at the cemetery on All Souls Day, which we can talk about later.
Okay.
It's called The Handbook of Indulgences, Norms and Grants.
Okay.
So the very first norm begins with a good definition. An indulgence is the remission in the eyes of God of the temporal punishment due to sins whose culpable element has already been taken away. So all that's really saying is that we have our punishment from our sins. So even though we go to confession, we have our sins forgiven, we still may have to pay for in reparation for those sins in some way, whether that's here on earth through our sufferings or sacrifices of offering those up as a worship to God, or it's time in purgatory. Because as the example I always give to the grade school students when I'm visiting Holy Angels grade school is, you throw an egg at the wall at your house, and you apologize to your mom. She may forgive you, but you're still going to have to clean up that mess. Hmm. And this is the same thing with our sins. We sin, we make a mess, we still got to clean it up. We got to pay for it, even when that guilt is already in that, the culpable element is already taken away through the grace of the sacraments. But indulgences are ways that we can offer worship to God and to help work away and chisel away at those temporal punishments.
Yeah, because no sin is an individual sin. Our sin affects everyone around us. It's communal.
Definitely.
So we cannot just say, oh, I'm not hurting anyone by what I do. So that's really a big deceit, because you can go to the priest, receive forgiveness, but the effects of that sin can spread wide depending on what that sin is. So that sounds like a pretty great thing to have in our life, doesn't it?
Oh, I mean, definitely.
I would love to try to get a plenary indulgence every single day. So I keep on seeing this word plenary. What does that mean? Because that's probably a kind of big fancy word that we don't use too much.
Well, I don't know exactly how it translates.
Well, I don't know how that translates to the thing, but there's plenary and there's partial.
So there's two kinds of indulgences, and broadly speaking, and there's plenary and partial indulgences. Mm-hmm. So plenary would be that full removal of that temporal punishment as it stands, and partial would be just part of it, not all of it. So
sure. Yeah. I mean, a long time ago, they used to talk about certain number of days were removed of punishment from, but that kind of term is not necessarily used anymore, is it?
I don't know exactly when that fizzled out, but some point along the way, people are just beginning too scrupulous with it, because also purgatory, that's after we die, that's outside of the temporal world. So how can there be so many days in purgatory? What does that really mean? So people are kind of like, well, does he have some angels that are accountants up there? Like, okay, this person, their punishment from their sin is 100 days, but they just did a partial indulgence for 20 days. So they're down there. Oh, they just did one for another 100 days. So they're at negative 20 days. I don't know. It very easily lends itself to scrupulosity, and unfortunately. So it's better just to put it all in the hands of God and say, here's a plenary indulgence. Here's a partial indulgence. Do it faithfully, because indulgence at the end of the day are just to help us work towards growing closer to God and praising Him through giving Him our lives and worshiping Him as best as we are able.
Yeah, so I don't know if you experienced this when being up north, but it seems like people kind of treat the faith or the way they're going to go to heaven or hell as like they have two columns. And as long as they have, you know, more good points in the good column than they do bad points, then they're kind of safe, but then they can kind of adjust those points, but I don't know, sometimes buying a meal for the priest or something, or doing an act of charity, and then try to kind of, you know, weigh themselves on this scale. But that's not how God works in his eyes, right?
Well, thankfully not for me. He's very merciful, merciful. And I mean, that's the blessing of purgatory. So that way it's not just heaven or hell. We can make it to purgatory somewhere in the middle, a happy medium. Hope for heaven, aim for heaven, hope for purgatory.
Sure. Yeah, purgatory is kind of an interesting word, too, because it seems the Catholic faith is one that really believes into it, and other faiths don't necessarily take that term for granted. So what would purgatory kind of be a summary of? How would you explain that to someone they just said, what's purgatory to you?
I would say it's a time of purification, because we have to be perfect to be in the presence of God, in that physical presence in heaven. So purgatory wipes away all those stains of sin or all of our attachments that we have to things on earth. So that way we're perfect and fully attached to God once we're in His presence in heaven. Just gets us ready, kind of like that staging room, getting us ready for that perfection. But it's a hopeful place. It's a joyful place.
So indulgences and purgatory kind of our work hand in hand when we use these terms.
Definitely.
To help us see the face of God, to be with Him in eternity in heaven. I mean, that's our ultimate goal in life, is to be in heaven, and the church is trying to help us and realize that if there's stain on you, I mean, it's like going to this formal dinner and you're all dressed up to the nines, and then you got that little stain on your shirt. You know, you don't want to present yourself like that. You want to get changed and be perfect before the eyes of God. So that's
definitely
really cool. So looking at indulgences, we talked about there's some kind of steps you got to go through to receive this indulgence. What are those steps that you have to go through to receive that indulgence?
Well, the first step is you have to fulfill an indulgence that is proclaimed by the church. You can't just make up, oh, I'm going to call this an indulgence today. It has to be something that's officially declared by the Pope, and I think in some situations, more on the local church, bishops can establish more partial indulgences as well. And so one of them was during the Year of Mercy, Pope Francis established that anytime you walk through a holy door of mercy, and that was a plenary indulgence, and established some other. Another one that I referenced earlier is if you pray for the dead on All Souls Day, the 2nd of November, or especially in a cemetery, or I'm forgetting all the other options, but if you pray for the dead on that day, and actually, one thing I learned when I got this book is it extends through the entire month of November.
Wow. Okay.
And, or at least the first... See, now I'm forgetting things.
That's all right.
It's all good. We're not perfect. And and so that's one. So if you pray for the dead, so I love praying a rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the cemetery, and I actually had probably 30 or 40 parishioners from Holy Angels join me at the cemetery there in Holy Angels.
Sure. So, but there's there's the plenary indulgence that, so there could be many different things, but it has to be known. That's why there's these handy books out there that we can kind of check out.
It lists a ton.
I'm sure you can find on Amazon.com. Just type in the word, the Handbook of Indulgences. You can find that out. And then there's these requirements that you do after doing it. So what are those things?
One is to pray for the intentions of our Holy Father. So normally what they recommend is to pray a creed, because you also have to do a creed as a separate requirement. So you have to pray the creed, pray for the intention of the Holy Father, and for the most people recommend just praying in Our Father, a Hail Mary and a Glory Be for the Holy Father's intentions. And then the third requirement is to go to confession, and that can be, now you have to go to that confession with the intention of fulfilling the indulgence. You can't just say, well, I happen to go to a confession this day. But it's a little tricky because the way it's written is you can go to confession 8 days prior or following the completion of the indulgence. So if you know...
Within 16 days.
Yeah, so...
You have to know that you're doing the indulgence at some point beforehand.
Especially if you're going to confession prior and hoping... it's a little tricky. And actually, and Pope Francis was very generous, and I think during the Year of Mercy, I don't know if it was all indulgences or just the holy doors, but he extended it to like 20 days prior and following to make it very accessible. Just wanting people to take advantage of this wonderful
But trying to show people the mercy of God is so great and so vast that...
It's so abundant.
We want to do anything to help these people, everyone, to enter heaven and try to not face these punishments that they've done through their sins. So, yeah.
Definitely. Because one beautiful thing that this book talks about that I love is... Because you have two options for the indulgence. You can apply the fruits of it and the graces to yourself, or you can apply them to people who have already passed on and are in purgatory. And because we never know. Unless they're canonized a saint, we don't know the spiritual state of where they're at after life. So even if they're already in heaven and you're offering an indulgence for someone, it's the beauty of our God and His mercy. He doesn't just say, oh, too bad. Your prayers are too late. They're already in heaven. Ha, ha, ha. He says, okay, here, I'm going to give this to the soul who's in most need of my mercy here in purgatory and apply it to them and help them join me for everlasting life. Just a wonderful God, very merciful God. And actually, this book talks about that God is even more abundant with His graces and the effects of these indulgences, plenary or partial, when we are so charitable as to give the fruits to somebody else.
So we got reconciliation, we got saying the creed, praying for the intentions of the Pope. You have to receive communion also within that time.
Yes,
right?
I forgot that one. Yep,
and
you're right.
You have to be resolved to not have any attachment to sin, which I think is the most difficult one of them all.
Because yeah, that's good that you brought that up. I forgot of it because it's most difficult. So hard. I don't want to. There's actually it's a little disturbing of a story, but I think it shows the difficulty of that. It's St. Philip Neri, I believe, if I'm remembering correct. He was in Rome, and it was this large gathering of people in one of the major squares in Rome, and they had just fulfilled some prayers that was supposed to be an indulgence, but he had I can't remember if an angel came to him or someone came to him from was a divine messenger of some kind and had a vision where it was only himself and this young boy who fulfilled all of the requirements of the plenary indulgence and were receiving the plenary indulgence in totality. And it's like, man, there was thousands of people there, but it was only those two, St. Philip Neri and one little boy that fulfilled all the requirements because of that complete detachment from sin being the requirement. Now, some people can be discouraged from that.
Sure.
And
I'm pretty discouraged. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we have to remember the mercy and just the generosity of our God, and the fact that even if we don't fulfill all the requirements perfectly to receive the full plenary indulgence, he's still going to shower as many graces upon us as possible, especially if we're offering that indulgence for somebody else.
Sure.
It may not be the full plenary indulgence for that person, but he will give what he's able based on what we have given him. So,
I mean, the whole point of our church in our faith is to help people to find their ultimate goal, which is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that kind of prevents them from doing that, I don't think would be necessarily of our faith. So having good intentions and wanting to fill these roles and just saying we're giving this to God and let you take care of it, I think would really help us to just kind of consciously focus on that, mm-hmm. and say that they're taken care of. Because, I mean, our human nature is a sinful human nature, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We have this tendency to sin, so saying that we're being detached of all sin is really, really tough to say. But we want these.
Definitely.
We want to talk about this in a positive way and not necessarily a negative way, because we have a history of indulgences that kind of shows a bad light to them, especially in the 1500s,
mm-hmm.
With Martin Luther saying that the church, you know, was selling indulgences to build these big, lavish churches and stuff. That might have necessarily been the case, but the church, was looking for the salvation of the souls of the people too, and then kind of made that an extra bonus of giving that that indulgence to them. But
yeah, I mean, priests are sinners too, unfortunately,
sure.
And well, fortunately, because then they're relatable. But but yeah, so I'm sure there's definitely priests along the way, and unfortunately, there's still probably some that exist today that take advantage of the system and take advantage of poor souls who are trying to grow in holiness, and they offer false promises. So that definitely happened in the past, unfortunately. But
sure.
So a lot of people, they hear this word indulgences, and they're like, oh no, I thought we got rid of those a long time
right.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're a blessing, one of the great gifts that God has given us through his church.
Yeah, but there's no monetary things involved in it at all. It's really
not anymore.
To assist you after you go to confession to really remove that
mm-hmm.
temporal punishment, that communal sin that you've created, to have that be lifted up. Yeah,
definitely.
That's pretty cool. So how can we kind of incorporate an indulgence in our life? I mean, you said that we had this year of mercy,
mm-hmm.
and then you talked about this time, November 2nd, to pray for all the poor souls.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other opportunities or ways that we can kind of put indulgences in our life?
Well, one great way, especially for families, one that I wasn't aware of until I got this book, but if an entire family prays a rosary together, that is actually a plenary indulgence.
Really?
Yes, of course, they have to fulfill the other requirements
sure.
as well. But this book here says, a plenary indulgence is granted when the rosary is recited in a church or oratory, or when it is recited in a family or a religious community or a pious association. So one easy way to incorporate indulgence in your life is just to be intentional to pray rosary together as a family in your home. And as you're praying, all have a common intention for who you're going to offer this indulgence for. And then it could be a very beautiful thing for family to go to confession together within those 8 days prior or following. And they can pray the prayers for the Holy Father and receive communion and just feel everything. And it could just be a wonderful way to draw your family closer together and closer to God.
Yeah. Mother Teresa talks about a family that prays together stays together. I mean, just kind of a cliched
mm-hmm.
term, but especially
very
in
true.
Our busy lives today, it's really, really tough to get our whole family together and just
mm-hmm.
be prayerful for 15 minutes. I mean, that's really, really tough. But here, I don't know how it works out in Sydney, but we have the rosary that's recited every single time before Mass begins. So I know it might be tough to get to that church early enough, but you're going to be at Mass anyway, so try to get there, you
mm-hmm.
know, 15, 20 minutes beforehand, and your family can we see that plenty in our indulgence.
Definitely.
And you definitely don't have to use all the times for the confessional. You can make appointments with the priest, and we can kind of help you receive the sacrament of confession without, because we only have it during Saturday afternoon, Tuesday night, and then after the morning masses. So those are not always convenient times for families to do it. So the priest is always there and available to help you receive that sacrament.
Yeah, I haven't met a priest yet that has turned away someone who wanted to have their confession.
There's a penalty to us. Yeah. Because that's our whole goal is to bring people closer to God. God has given the priest these wonderful sacraments to administer. So how could you not want to give the grace and mercy that God wants to bestow on these people? Yeah. But your life can be busy. I mean, there's serious times that the priest, has to go to anoint someone or do something like that. Mm-hmm. And we give them lax there, but if there's no really excuse there, the priest should hear your confession.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And some other great example, because I mentioned the plenary indulgence for the cemetery, but I think especially if your ancestors are buried locally at a cemetery here or nearby, it's a partial indulgence for the rest of the year outside of the month of November. If you ever end up in Rome, like Father Matt will be later.
In March.
The four major basilicas, those count visiting those and fulfilling the requirements. And there's so many prayers that are partial indulgences. The Anima Christi, the saying the creed faithfully and devoutly, the Apostles' Order, Nicene Creed. There's so many things that I'm not going to read. This is not a long book.
Would you say that if someone has a daily prayer life, they pray, rote prayers, they also have their own prayers that they pray to God. Mm-hmm. I would say that having that incorporated into their life, they're already experiencing the indulgences that mm-hmm. the church kind of gives us without even them really knowing about mm-hmm. it. And I think that's what the church wants to encourage is mm-hmm. your connectedness, your relationship with God. And mm-hmm. if you have that, then you'll want to go to heaven. You'll want to be with God. If you don't have that in this life, then why would you want to be connected with God anyway when you go to the next life? Not that people are wishing to go to hell or anything like that, but you got to have a relationship with someone before you can go. I mean, you don't want to just go and marry someone the next day after you meet them. You want to go and kind of...
No.
But you want to kind of kindle this relationship up. So that's kind of the same thing with our relationship with God. And that's what prayer is, a relationship with God.
And I think we definitely see that in the requirements once you fulfill the indulgence, because they all go back to the Mass, or mm-hmm. they don't all, but they all go back to the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist, mm-hmm. just very physical encounters with Jesus Christ, especially in the Mass and the Eucharist, encountering the person of mm-hmm. Christ in the Eucharist and his most sacred heart. It's just wonderful, which it's one of the best ways, because one of the things this introduction of this book just stresses over and over again is nothing is more powerful than the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
Amen.
So the prayers, the perfect prayer that is the Mass and the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the Mass is more powerful than any of these prayers. So these prayers of these indulgences, so it's so important that these indulgences point us to the Mass and God's mercy there.
Some of us can think that the Mass is just kind of this thing we have to go to on Sundays. So if you look at it superficially, you might not necessarily get what you think is the Mass, but the research that you do, you can look in so many books, what saints talk to us about what is Mass. You can just experience Mass a whole different way, even if it's not this thing that it is in front of mm-hmm. you every day or every Sunday.
Enter heaven. It's just mm-hmm. absolutely incredible. I know that's because we can't see ourselves entering heaven, so mm-hmm. it's even hard. It's hard for all of us mm-hmm. to vision, unless we're one of the lucky saints who has a chance to see that. But it's like all the angels in heaven, all the saints in heaven are there in that church, no matter whatever church you're in, as long as the Mass, because it's the representation of the crucifixion of our Lord, and all the angels and saints are there adoring him as he comes down. It's just, it's incredible. It's so much more than what meets the eye is going on at the Mass.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, us being seminarians, priests, we study these things. Mm-hmm. We try to incorporate daily prayer in our lives and have that relationship with Christ. And I think that just gets us excited, kind of revs us up a little bit, and just we want other people to experience the what we've experienced in our life. And we can't lead the horse to water. Like, we can talk about it as much as we can, but we can't actually be there and make you pray in your life and like research Mass and just see the beauty of what Mass is. So I really encourage you out there to have that relationship with our Lord every single day. Pray with your family. Make Sunday obligation something to do every... Definitely. I know it's an obligation, but make it worthwhile for yourself and make it more than what it... just this obligation that we have to do. So I want to thank you all for listening today. I want to thank Jeff Stegbauer for joining me on the chat with Father Matt. If you have a subject that you'd like to discuss with my fellow seminarians and clergy that come, feel free to email me at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. We're also on iTunes, so please rate us on iTunes so we can get this podcast out to the masses. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune again next week for the chat with Father Matt.